Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and we're into the book of Exodus now, and this is chapter 38. And let's all go up to the throne to ask the Lord to anoint the readings, to anoint any commentary and all commentary, and to open our spirits, Lord, Father, God, in the name of Jesus, to receive everything, all the lessons, and all the power, your grace, your power, into us, Lord, that we may stand another day strong in you, and dying out, being mortified, so that you can represent yourself in and through us. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go.
Exodus chapter 38, King James Version, verse 1. And he made the altar of burnt offering of acacia wood. 5 cubits was the length thereof, and 5 cubits the breadth thereof. It was 4 square, and 3 cubits the height thereof. And he made the horns thereof on the 4 corners of it. The horns thereof were of the same, and he overlaid it with brass. And he made all the vessels of the altar, the pots, and the shovels, and the basins, and the flesh hooks, and the fire pans. All the vessels thereof made he of brass.
Now these temples here were, and all this hardware, the altars and the where the burnt offerings were, have to do with the atoning for the people, all the people's sins in Israel. And they were a gathering of people. They were an assembly of people. And the entire assembly, the temple there, was just a figure or similar type of the Lord, and also symbolic of us. And the altar is symbolic of all the sacrifices, and the altar is symbolic of the cross that we must carry, to deny ourselves completely and allow ourselves to go through the fire. And the blood, which is the atoning blood of Christ, must be on our souls by faith before we'll ever be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. And we have to keep ourselves in the spirit, and with the blood on our spirit on a daily basis, we have to stay atoned. There's no such thing as was in the Old Testament, where once a year they could have their sins forgiven. And that's why the Day of Atonement was such a beautiful thing to the people of the congregation, is because on that day, everyone's sins were forgiven. And that's a real joyful thing, to know that you're clean before the eyes of the Lord, and that if in the event that you should die, that day you're joyful because you know that you can enter boldly into the kingdom of heaven, and the Lord will favor you. He'll say, come on in, my good and faithful servant. But when people have been that was just once a year they'd do it in the Old Testament. But now the Lord has died once for us, and he has entered into the most holy place after his death, burial, ascent, descent into hell, and then ascension out of hell, conquering death, hell, and the grave. He rose from the dead and then ascended into the kingdom of heaven, and showing us that if we are like him and can be like him because of the power of the Spirit of the Lord's Spirit in us, mingled with ours, we can do the same thing. We can drink the same cup that he drank to be persecuted, and to be unjustly dealt with, and still maintain our relationship with the Lord by keeping his commandments. And it's a joyful thing because the Lord isn't going to die once a year for us anymore. He atoned for our sins once. In other words, atonement means he forgave us once for all of our past sins, and then gave us the power to not sin anymore. So people that willingly sin and live a life of sin and they never feel confident. They never have any joy in them or peace or happiness in them because they don't believe that their sins are forgiven, that their sins are atoned, because they feel, I've been forgiven, and then I keep sinning all the time, and so therefore the power of God has left me. So they're full of wrath, and they're full of lust, and that's where wars and fightings come from, is the lust in people's flesh. And they don't have confidence in the Spirit of the Lord because the Spirit of the Lord has departed from them. But the Day of Atonement should be the happiest day in a person's life. The day that your sins, atonement means that your sins are forgiven. And that's what all this to do is, the building of the altar, and it's symbolic of, you can get into the four square city. The altar is four square if you become a sacrifice for the Lord. And all these lavers and all the utensils that were used in this sacrifices for the atoning of sin. And so it's a very important, that is the most important thing, is to have your sins forgiven and to have the Spirit of God, the power, because all power in heaven and earth belongs to the Lord, Jesus Christ, because He is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There are not three gods. All these three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are one person. That's why it was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit that came down into a man. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, entered into a man and lived a perfect life, a sinless life in the flesh. And He did that to show us that if He was in us, that our bodies would be able to live a sinless life as well. And He tells us how to meditate on Him, and in other words, to think about Him, and to think about these things, and make them first and foremost in our life. Because when you come right down to it, what is there in the world that can compare to having peace and joy and happiness to know that your sins are forgiven? There isn't anything in the world. Movies or going fishing or going hunting? That's a lot of people say, well, you know, I work 6 days a week, and I've only got one day out of the week to go fishing or go hunting or something like that. And when you get saved, when the Spirit of the Lord has, the Lord has atoned your sins, has forgiven your sins, and He's entered your body, I mean, really, you should not want to go fishing. The desire to go fishing or anything completely leaves your mind, your spirit. You just want to do something for the Lord. Lord, You've done so much for me. You've shown me the way, the truth, and the life. You've shown me eternal life. You've given it to me. What can I do for You should be the very most important thing in your life, and not to just start doing something on your own to where you become frantically doing something for the Lord. But Lord, please, by Your Spirit, lead, guide, and direct me to where I look like that I look like You. I'm not this insane rushing back and forth in the house or in the church or out on the streets or like a wild-eyed fanatic, but Lord, represent Yourself in the dignity that You are. A lot of things You have people do are not dignified looking to the general public, because Lord knows, You know, Lord, that I have done many things that You've told me to do that I didn't think was dignified at all, such as going down on the streets and witnessing to hippies and going to the back of supermarkets and to go into like dope dens and preach the gospel and then preach the gospel every night in those dope dens after all the people got saved. And then go down to thrift stores and buy things. This doesn't look dignified, but to the Lord it does. Okay, because our spirits are broken and we have to do with what we've got. We didn't have much money, hardly any at all. Just enough to pay the rent. And before that, I had plenty of money, and I always used to feel very bad because I spent my money in the wrong way before I was saved. I always wished that I could have saved some of that money to spend it on the Lord. So, you know, the brothers and sisters, they don't really make money. It's the Lord opens doors for all of us, and the money comes in from here, this place, and that place. And we can't tell where it's coming from, and none of us can take any glory, the brothers, the sisters, or myself, as to where the money comes from. It comes from the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And it comes to the Lord from obedience. And so the Lord says, if you were a sinner, and if you have, after being atoned of your sins, you've done something wrong, you know the right word now. The Bible says, only confess. This is Old Testament, but the Lord says, don't be living a life of sin anymore. Because if you continue in your sin, you're not going to heaven. And so you have to, we have to get ourselves right with the Lord and stay there. And keep growing upward instead of going downward. And if we're not growing upward on a daily basis, then we're backslidden. We're backslidden, and we are part of the Antichrist falling away in these last days that the Bible tells about that would happen just before Jesus comes back to earth again. Anyone in the Spirit should not never be discouraged, because the Lord provides everything for us. And everything that we need, He gives us, and even much more. So that's why it's so important that these scriptures here are talking about getting prepared to make atonement for the sins of the people. And it's all symbolic of our being able to understand better the work that Christ did when He was here. He had to live a perfect life without spot or blemish. He was like, symbolically, it was an animal that was perfect, not blind or lame or any cancer on it or anything like that, and that it was a perfect live animal, one that is beautiful, that you don't, that you could make a lot of money on, and the Lord wants you to take that perfect animal, which is symbolic, to be symbolized as the Lord's perfect son, to be slaughtered, so that we who were sinners can be set free. He became our scapegoat. All of our sins went upon Him. And so He knew that we could never be forgiven for our sins unless He, God Almighty Himself, as a man, was slaughtered for us and then rose again from the dead. So listen to these scriptures here. They're very important. They have to do with the forgiveness of sins and the cleansing of the temple, the cleansing of the priests, the cleansing of the people, the cleansing of the gathering, the congregation, the church. Now, the church is not a building or a gathering place. The church is the people that go to the gathering place. The congregation is the temple of God. Today, the congregation is the church. Amen?
Amen.
But the thing that people call the church is actually a gathering place. All right, let's go.
Verse 4. And He made for the altar a brazen grate of network under the compass thereof, beneath unto the midst of it. And He cast four rings for the four ends of the grate of brass, to be places for the staves. And He made the staves of acacia wood, and overlaid them with brass. And He put the staves into the rings on the sides of the altar, to bear it withal. He made the altar hollow with boards. And He made the laver of brass, and the foot of it of brass, of the looking glasses of the women assembling, which assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And He made the court on the south side southward. The hangings of the court were of fine twined linen, 100 cubits. Their pillars were 20, and their brazen sockets 20. The hooks of the pillars and their fillets were of silver.
Now the Bible is talking about all these things that they were supposed to do, and now it shows them that they're doing it, okay? Doing it exactly as the Lord specified in chapters before. Okay, and what verse is that?
Just the last one was 10.
Okay, so let's go now into the translation.
Translation verse 1 through 10. The building of the altar of burnt offerings.
And the burnt offerings is just symbolic of ourselves, so that we can show that we've been forgiven for our sins. Because we ourselves are we go out and become persecuted and everything and are like the scapegoats because, and we're willing to take persecution and take bad things that are said about us and all these things because we're interested in letting the Lord show His power in us because the normal person cannot take this. But the person that has been atoned or has been forgiven, they're so happy that that's happened and that they're right with the Lord that they don't let anything get to them. Amen?
Amen?
The only thing they really hate is the devil, and if they see somebody doing devilish things and then they start arguing with them, well, there'll be a confrontation there, and justly so, because we're to be angry, but we're to sin not. In other words, to be angry at Satan, but we're not to be angry or offended in the Lord. Blessed is he that is not offended in me, saith Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So that's what all this is about, is the atoning of sins. And what?
The altar for burning animal sacrifices.
All symbolic of Jesus, and all symbolic also of ourselves, who are we are the body of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So we have to have some kind of a visual picture, because if the people, we don't have a vision, then we perish. We don't know what the Lord requires. This is showing us what the Lord requires. Everything has to be built perfect. Which is symbolic of everything in us has to be as perfect as with the Lord. We're not to imitate the Lord. We're to be exactly like Him. Amen? And that only can happen when He, the exact Lord, enters us. And then we pass away. We allow His Spirit to mortify our flesh so that His Spirit in us can be exactly as it was in the body, the human body of Jesus. He wants exact reproductions. It's the same thing as I've explained before, when you sow a piece of corn into the ground, or we'll just use corn as an example, any seed, but corn, there's not going to be imitation corn come up, is there?
No.
It's going to be the real deal, amen? The real corn on the cob. I don't want to eat imitation corn. You can go down to the dime store or now Walmart and get that, but we don't want that. We want real corn, amen?
Amen?
And the Lord is sowing the real grain, which is the Word of God, and it brings forth the real Lord. Okay? That's sowing, the Word of God is God, and that gets sown into people, and it's not imitation that comes back. It's the real Lord. The real Lord. And then we grow up as we're watered with the Word. It's like being planted, the Lord being planted in our spirits. And then the more we hear the Word, the more we read it, the more we study it, the more we know of the Word of God, the more we start, that corn, that seed in us keeps growing. Now when Christ grows up in us, it's the real Christ, not some imitation. Amen? So any of these commentators that tell you that, and most of them say, the Lord wants us to imitate His ways and His Word, He doesn't want any imitation. He wants to really be alive in you, and He really wants you to die out just like He says, and He really wants to do the work. And He wants you to let His, let your body go where He wants it to go and do what He wants it to do. And for you to not do what He doesn't want you to do. He doesn't want you to do, He doesn't want you to lie. He wants you to crucify that tongue. He wants to use your tongue. He doesn't want you to be a profane person. He doesn't want you to worship any other god or any person or anything in this world or any craft or to want to have any particular career. He wants you to use you. He wants to be used. He wants to use your body to do His work. We have to let Him use us to further His career. Hell is a town. And to hell, go to that town, the town of hell, with your career, with your ideas, with anything that you think. because what you think, let it go to hell and let the Lord do his thing. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what else? Hell is not a curse word. It's a town. It's a place. It's a place in the pit of the earth, and the lake of fire is there as well. Okay? The fuego. The fire, right? And let me call be called El Fuego, the fire, because the fire of the Lord is burning in me. And let you be called El Fuego. Amen?
Amen.
What does that mean, you Spanish-speaking people?
The fire.
The fire. Let me be called the fire. El Fuego. Okay, go ahead.
The altar for burning animal sacrifices also was constructed of acacia wood. It was 7.5 feet square at the top and 4.5 feet high. There were four horns, one at each of the four corners, all of one piece with the rest. This altar was overlaid with bronze. Then he made all the bronze utensils to be used with the altar, the ash buckets, shovels, basins, meat hooks, and fire pans.
Yeah. Well, man, these ashes, you know, the fire is going to burn us into ashes. Well, that's what we need to do, is wind up to be a heap of ashes. And that meat hook, you know, we're going to be possibly beaten. And I've been stoned. I, honest to godly, have been stoned on the highway. We're pulled over because people knew who we were. And I've been stoned by bikers, devil-worshipping people. And I've been spit on. I've been fired at with guns. I've been threatened for a lot of years, but that's why they call me El Fuego. I mean, you know, because the fire that's in me, the Lord Jesus Christ, by keeping his commandments, I'm still around after 40 years. Amen?
Amen.
And they're dead. I would say that at least, I mean, I've been told so many times that hundreds of people that have done evil things unto us are muerto. They're dead. They're planted in the bone orchard. They're gone. You have to be careful about what you do to people that have the fire of the Lord in them, because it's the Lord in us. And when anybody is attacking the body of Christ, they're attacking Christ. And I don't know of any time where God lost a battle. Amen? You say, well, Christ was crucified. Yeah, but he rose. Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
That just shows more power. He just died to show, you know, how mere man has to die. Then he showed that he really is God, that he rose from the dead. Death, hell, and the grave. So the fire, the Holy Spirit that's in people, never dies. Your body could die, but God lifts it from the dead. Amen?
Amen?
And it lives forever. But those that died because they were bad to people and would never repent, their souls are in hell and then in the lake of fire, and their torment will never cease eternally. Okay, then go ahead.
Verse 4. Next he made a bronze grating that rested on a ledge about halfway down into the fire box.
El Fuego, the fire box. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. What else?
Four rings were cast for each side of the grating.
Rings are for eternity. They never end. They just round and round. Okay, then what?
To support carrying it with poles.
Yeah, you're not supposed to touch that. Then what else with human hands?
The carrying poles themselves were made of acacia wood and were overlaid with bronze. These poles were inserted into the rings at the side of the altar. The altar was hollow and was made from planks. Building the wash basin. The bronze wash basin and its bronze pedestal were cast from bronze mirrors donated by the women who served at the entrance of the tabernacle. The building of the courtyard. Then he constructed the courtyard. The south wall was 150 feet long. It consisted of curtains made of fine linen. There were 20 posts, each with its own bronze base, and there were silver hooks and rods to hold up the curtains. King James Version, verse 11. And for the north side, the hangings were 100 cubits. Their pillars were 20, and their sockets of brass 20. The hooks of the pillars and their fillets of silver. And for the west side were hangings of 50 cubits. Their pillars 10, and their sockets 10. The hooks of the pillars and their fillets of silver. And for the east side eastward 50 cubits. The hangings of the one side of the gate were 15 cubits, their pillars 3, and their sockets 3. And for the other side of the court gate, on this hand and that hand, were hangings of 15 cubits, their pillars 3, and their sockets 3. All the hangings of the court round about were of fine twined linen. And the sockets for the pillars were of brass, the hooks of the pillars and their fillets of silver, and the overlaying of their chapiters of silver. And all the pillars of the court were filleted with silver. Translation, verse 11 through 17. The north wall was also 150 feet long, with 20 bronze posts and bases, and with silver hooks and rods. The west end was 75 feet wide. The walls were made from curtains supported by 10 posts and bases, and with silver hooks and rods. The east end was also 75 feet wide. The courtyard entrance was on the east side, flanked by 2 curtains. The curtain on the right side was 22.5 feet long, and was supported by 3 posts set into 3 bases. The curtain on the left side was also 22.5 feet long, and was supported by 3 posts set into 3 bases. All the curtains used in the courtyard walls were made of fine linen. Each post had a bronze base, and all the hooks and rods were silver. The tops of the posts were overlaid with silver, and the rods to hold up the curtains were solid silver. King James Version, verse 18. And the hanging for the gate of the court was needlework, of blue and purple and scarlet, and fine twined linen. And 20 cubits was the length, and the height in the breadth was 5 cubits, answerable to the hangings of the court. And their pillars were 4, and their sockets of brass 4, their hooks of silver, and the overlaying of their chapiters, and their fillets of silver. And all the pins of the tabernacle, and of the court round about, were of brass. This is the sum of the tabernacle, even of the tabernacle of testimony, as it was counted, according to the commandment of Moses, for the service of the Levites, by the hand of Ithamar, son to Aaron the priest. And Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, made all that the Lord commanded Moses. And with him was Aholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, an engraver and a cunning workman, and an embroiderer in blue and in purple and in scarlet and fine linen. All the gold that was occupied for the work, in all the work of the holy place, even the gold of the offering, was 29 talents, and 730 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary. Translation, verse 18 through 24. The curtain that covered the entrance to the courtyard was made of fine linen cloth, and embroidered with blue, purple, and scarlet yarn. It was 30 feet long, 7.5 feet high, just like the curtains of the courtyard walls.
Yeah, these different colors, like purple is symbolic of king. Scarlet is symbolic of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And, you know, all these colors are symbolic. That's royalty, okay? Blue and purple and scarlet. Like the harlot let a scarlet thread go out of her window, and that saved her, which was symbolic of the blood of Jesus, saving even a contaminated harlot who believed that the people of Israel were of God. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Because everything is symbolic like that. Okay, then what? She couldn't be a harlot anymore, though. She had to go and sin no more. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
It was supported by four posts set into four bronze bases. The tops of the posts were overlaid with silver, and the hooks and rods were also made of silver. All the tent pegs used in the tabernacle and courtyard were made of bronze. The inventory of materials. Here is an inventory of the materials used in building the tabernacle of the covenant. Moses directed the Levites to compile the figures, and Ithamar, son of Aaron the priest, served as recorder.
See, it's good to take inventory on the things that are the Lord sends into the house of God, because a lot of times people ask for certain things and it's already in the warehouse or the storage. And if people keep an inventory of what's around and what we have and what we don't have, we don't spend the Lord's money needlessly on things that we don't need to spend money on. It's already in inventory. And people, this is showing us a lesson here, keep inventory. Know what we have in all the, any of you, we have 1,000 warehouses, know what's everywhere so that we can use it. Amen? For the glory of the Lord. And we don't have to spend money when we already have it. Amen?
Amen.
Then what? So here's an inventory of all the things that went to build the temple and that were used to build the temple. They had more than enough, and so they stopped the donations. Go ahead.
Bezalel, son of Uri, grandson of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, was in charge of the whole project, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. He was assisted by Aholiab, son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan, a craftsman expert at engraving, designing, and embroidering blue, purple, and scarlet yarn of fine linen cloth. The people brought gifts of gold, totaling about 2,200 pounds, all of which was used throughout the tabernacle. King James Version, verse 25. And the silver of them that were numbered of the congregation was 100 talents and 1,730 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary. A beka for every man, that is, half a shekel, after the shekel of the sanctuary, for every one that went to be numbered, from 20 years old and upward, for 600,000 and 3,550 men. And of the 100 talents of silver were cast the sockets of the sanctuary, and the sockets of the veil, and 100 sockets of the 100 talents, a talent for a socket. And of the 1,770 and 5 shekels he made hooks for the pillars, and overlaid their chapiters, and filleted them. And the brass of the offering was 70 talents, and 2,400 shekels. And therewith he made the sockets to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the brazen altar, and the brazen grate for it, and all the vessels of the altar. And the sockets of the court round about, and the sockets of the court gate, and all the pins of the tabernacle, and all the pins of the court round about.
Okay, that was a complete inventory of everything that was used and needed for the building of the temple, the altar, the utensils used, and also the clothing of Aaron and his sons, and just everything. Amen?
Amen.
And so we must remember to keep inventory. It's not wrong to be thankful and conscious of what the Lord has given us. And whatever we have, it was the Lord that gave it to us. We wouldn't have it. This is for sure the devil wouldn't give it to us. Amen?
Amen.
So everything should be precious that the Lord has given us, and we need to keep account of it. So those of you that want to keep inventories, then come forward and do it. And incidentally, everybody that wants to be a singer or a musician, do it, because we're building a new church out here, and the platform is going to be almost as big as the one that we had in Dyer. It's going to be, well, the one in Dyer was probably 80 or 90 feet long, but this one will probably be 50 to 60 feet wide. And it's going to be around 21 to 20 feet deep, and it's going to be made out of steel so that we can put a couple of grand pianos on it, timpani drums, chimes, a couple of grand pianos, a Hammond B3 organ with Leslie speakers, all sorts of microphones, and every kind of musical instrument. Okay, and so we need to have an inventory of all the things that we have. We're going to put a couple of 3/4 inch plywood. We'll put one layer of 3/4 inch plywood on top of steel girders. The rise will only be 1 foot, because we have 10-foot ceilings there, and I don't want it to get any higher. But that'll leave us eight foot ceiling above the platform. Because, you know, I count the cost. The ceilings are 10 feet in the building, and there's going to be a speaker system all the way throughout the building so that people in the back of the church will be able to hear what's going on the platform, and to hear the music as much as the person sitting in the front row. All kinds of microphones. There's two bathrooms in there. It's all brand new. And we're going to have a baptistry in there to be able to baptize people. And we'll have a large waterfall that comes down into the baptistry, just like as we had in Dyer at our church there. And then I want to make the walls all stone. They have these stones that they use in movies. They're made out of lightweight stuff. And we'll just somehow apply them to the wall. You'll find them on the thing. And it'll look very decorative. It'll look like we're in a castle. This is really great. You know, like they do that. You know, I've been at Paramount when they're doing pictures there, and over at other different studios. And I've seen them do that, and these things are available, so we'll find some. Amen?
Amen.
I know that when MGM sold out, that they had all kinds of these different things for sale, and I was hoping that one day we'd have something. That's why I bought a chariot there that was in the movie Ben-Hur, and the government grabbed that on us. I don't know what happened to it. It was a red chariot. And it was one of the main chariots in the motion picture. And but I have an inn in the motion picture industry, and I know how to find all kinds of things. We're going to make this look real nice, and we may even do television programs from in the church. Incidentally, the building is already up. The insulation is in, and the roof is on, totally on. And we're going to be working in there to put the air conditioning in. We have one of the very best air conditioning people in the whole this area out here. And I put in the copper tubing in tomorrow. We've got all the studs in the wall to put the sheetrock on. And we're just moving right along. They'll sheetrock the whole building. I mean, there's another side of the building that's just as big as the church. The church is 6,500 square feet. And on the other side of the partition is another 6,500 feet over there. And let me see. Oh, we're going to put plug-ins in the ceiling for television lights, just as we're putting over at this other building. And we're going first class. So take inventory of everything you've got and do that so that the Lord can keep blessing us more and more. And if any of you come up with any ideas, praise the Lord. I welcome new ideas, and maybe you know where some of these things are available. And if you do, for heaven's sakes, call me, okay, so that we can get this expedited real fast. If we don't find those materials for the walls, the stones, or the fascia for it, we're still going to have services with the sheetrock on there. We'll paint it, you know, and start going right away. But we need a choir. We need quartets. We need soloists. We need all these things that all churches have. We need musicians. So if any of you have any talent that way, get ready and start going over those old arrangements that I used to sing, because I need a background. And I don't feel comfortable unless I have a big choir behind me and a big orchestra behind me. I got a big voice, and I like that, and some of you have big voices too. And we want to record again. Amen?
Amen.
And get some new materials and things. And let's start really getting kicking the gong here for the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
We have our own record company and our own TV production company. We don't have to go to Opryland or Channel 13, Channel 7, Channel 5 in Los Angeles, or Channel 9, or anybody other channel or Opryland. We got it all ourselves. All right, and so this was chapter 38. And you've got some commentary here?
Translations.
Oh, translations. Okay, let's go.
Okay.
Well, I just could, forgive me, I just thought I could, I'm so excited about what's going on out here that I'm just bubbling over. So go ahead and give the translation.
Okay. Verse 25 through 31. The amount of silver that was given was about 7,545 pounds. It came from the tax of 1/5 of an ounce of silver collected from each of those registered in the census. This included all the men who were 20 years old or older, 603,550 in all. The 100 bases for the frames of the sanctuary walls and for the posts supporting the inner curtain required 7,500 pounds of silver, about 75 pounds for each base. The rest of the silver, about 45 pounds, was used to make the rods and hooks and to overlay the tops of the posts. People also brought 5,310 pounds of bronze, which was used for casting the bases for the posts at the entrance to the tabernacle, and for the bronze altar with its bronze grating and altar utensils. Bronze was also used to make the bases for the posts that supported the curtain around the courtyard, the bases for the curtain at the entrance of the courtyard, and all the tent pegs used to hold the curtains of the courtyard in place.
All right, well, that was Exodus chapter 38, and Lord willing, we'll be doing chapter 39 this evening. And until then, keep thinking about what the Lord says all the time. Keep knowing that, just live one day at a time, because, you know, we never know in these last days or in this late date. We could be standing talking to somebody on a corner, and something could happen where we would be in eternity, standing right before the Lord, even quicker than a blinking of an eye. And then you're going to be right there just the way you are here. I'm going to be there just the way I am now. If I went out to meet the Lord now, he'd say, well, you were just preaching the gospel, and you wouldn't know when it happens. You're just there. Say, what happened, Lord? Well, you were just, your body just got smashed. Well, I'm all together here. That's right. You know what it's all about. But I didn't feel a thing, Lord. That's right. I just took your spirit right then, in the twinkling of an eye, and you're here. And what a crude awakening to find out that you had some dirty, filthy thought on your mind, or that your mind was far away from the Lord, that you were thinking about some movie or some game or some basketball court. We have a nice basketball court, and it's good to exercise, because the Lord is emphasizing that to me. And we also just got a new garage. It's like a 4-bay garage in Fort Smith. 3 bays are for semis, and 1 is for vans and for cars and for smaller vehicles, like small pickups and things like that. And it's all paid in full. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
It cost $100,000, and the Lord just provided the money just like that. Amen?
Amen.
And the basketball court and the school rooms over there, that was all paid in cash. $100,000 for that. Right next to the church. That belongs to the people of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And so, as soon as I can, you know, I try to get in there, but I'm going to either get the brothers busy doing that, or else I'm going to hire a crew to go in there and do it right quick. Because here's two buildings that have gone up, and, you know, our brothers still haven't finished that gray house over there, so I'm going to... It's just sad, but true. So if people are not good past at building, that's no sin. But one thing for sure, I know that you can distribute literature. So if you're not going to prove to be a good workman as far as building buildings and fixing them up, well, I'll just hire somebody and you can go out and pass out literature, because we need all the witnesses we can. No hard feelings, okay? So keep your mind on the Lord. Keep thinking about Him. Because, like I said, like the Bible says, we could be there any minute, any second. Even a split of a second, we could be right there before Him. So be careful what you're thinking about. Think of the Lord. And think of these scriptures. And think of all those multitudes of things there is to think about the Lord. Keep looking up. God bless you, and praise the Lord. Amen.